Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by two fan favorites from Bachelor Nation, Greg Grippo and Andrew Spencer. Greg and Andrew. I got the two for one here. Yep. Many of you know Greg and Andrew from their time on Katie Thurston's season of The Bachelorette or on Bachelor in Paradise for Andrew. More recently, the dynamic duo has created a string of sketch comedy content on social media, which has caught the eyes of brands, followers, and people from all around the world. What you may not know is their unique career paths leading up to their time on reality TV and before they became content creators. Both Greg and Andrew were college athletes who took different paths post-college. Andrew playing professional football Austria and Greg pursuing life insurance while exploring his creative side.
D2 basketball.
And D2 basketball while also pursuing life insurance and his creative side with acting lessons. Mm-hmm. They can provide so much insight from their perspective careers that many of our listeners may not be familiar with. This is going to be an interview like no other with Greg and Andrew. We're talking all things reality TV before, where you are today. We're diving into financial. We're diving into professional. And with you two here and a lot of news out there, we might have to dive into a little personal. But thank you guys for being on Trading Secrets.
I wish you could give us an intro into every single room we walk into.
No, yeah, holy shit. You know, like last night at the party, I should have just stopped. Greg and Andrew are here. Give me the mic. Let's do this. So speaking of that, I think it's a good, usually I go in like chronological order with my guests. We go all the way back, but I think we need to come all the way forward just because of last night. Last night was the Talk Miami book party. We went out afterwards. How you guys doing? That was a good time.
Glasses are still on.
Yeah, I should have my glasses on right now. Man, we got back to life finally within the last couple hours, but
yeah.
Gosh, this has been one of the most brutal hangovers. You know how to throw a party.
Yeah, JT. Honestly, you know how to throw a party. It was really cool to see everyone just really just very comfortable.
It was fun to meet Charity.
Yeah.
And Dotton.
Yeah.
Dotton was Charity's cool. Great.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Bachelor Nation mix up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
And you know what? Usually there's drama. I don't think there was any drama.
Everyone was having fun.
Yeah.
Everyone was having fun.
I feel like there's always, like when you get Bachelor Nation together too, I feel like there's always like a lot of tea the next day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there, I mean, a little bit here and there,
but I think we're all chilling.
Nothing crazy. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah. I feel like the group consensus was all hammered.
Yeah.
I've never seen a more disheveled group pile into a bar. I was like, we look terrible as a unit.
I was ripping shots down people's
Charity. I've never seen him.
Come on, that
I
bad?
Promise you, I've never. This is what he was doing.
This is me in the club.
I've never seen it. I was like, bro, this is ridiculous.
I love that. I don't know if you saw Charity. You know how, like, in Instagram and the Messenger, you put like an away message.
Yeah,
Charity's message.
I saw that. I hung completely over.
Uh-huh. So I think we were all feeling it. But good times. I'm glad we can make this happen. Let's go back in time a little bit. All right. Mm. So Greg, I'm gonna start with you. So I didn't realize that you had been casted to go on Becca's season. We could have been on the same season,
dude. Yeah.
So how old would you? I think if you went on when Becca, because you know the long hair thing, like I would have been fucked. Like,
I had a shaved head at that time.
Oh,
too.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
I was dating somebody out in LA during that time, and when I got the call, an LA number popped up, and I was like, oh, "This is just her calling me from her work phone or something."
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is so-and-so from The Bachelor. And I thought it was either her or like one of my buddies. And I just hung up.
Yeah.
But then they like were reaching out and it was for Becca's season. And I was like 24 at the time. I was like, no, I'm absolutely like way too young for this.
I think that's pretty rare though, because they went to you for Becca's season, Claire's season, Tayshia's season, Katie's season. Right?
Yeah.
So they clearly, I don't know about you, Andrew, but that wasn't the case for me.
No. Like, I was actually on your guys' season too. I was on the back of season. I was at Clay's like
intro shit.
Video.
Oh, that's right. You were in the package.
Are you fucking intro video. Kidding me?
Yeah, I remember that. We got to pull that up.
Look at that. That's crazy.
You go to your IMDb or whatever the hell it is. It's probably there that you made it.
Well, I didn't say anything. I didn't get any talking parts, but you know, we'll have to talk about that. And you know, they told me we weren't going to film us eating.
Okay,
bro.
They filmed you.
You were housing chicken too.
Oh no.
Look how this is going to make Clay look. Look at it. That looks really good. It was funny, man. But no,
Is that where they met you? Is that how you got recruited from that video?
I think Clay had me in like an Instagram post or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, my cousin, he'd be great for the show as well. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, they sent he sent me over there.
So. Okay, good stuff. Before you accepted that role, were you playing pro football?
Yeah, dude, I was in Austria.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're in Austria. How many years are you playing at this point?
This is my second year in Austria. Third year in Austria.
Okay, I didn't even know there was an Austria football league until I did more research on you.
Dude, it's gotten really big right now. They conjoined like all the nations now. So it's like, you're not only playing in Austria, you play like in pretty much all of Europe. It's like UK.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
So they just redid that and now it's getting bigger and bigger, which is great.
Cool. I got to ask Trading Secrets. Yeah. What kind of money can you make in an Austria football
so
league?
I was making about $2,000 a month.
Okay.
But I didn't pay for anything.
Okay. So no expenses.
No expenses. Like rent was free.
Okay, cool.
Food, travel, like everything was, you know, was free.
Yeah.
So on top of that, we have $2,000 and then obviously it's paid in cash.
Yeah.
So
because there's no tax, like the tax situation is different when you're abroad.
So I was just like, I was pocketing everything.
Okay.
When I came back to the States, didn't even have to get that taxed or anything as well. So because it was all cash.
From the IRS is listening.
Yeah. So
Chance gets a call tomorrow. Like, oh, shit.
So no, it wasn't the best money making spot, but honestly, it was probably what I needed at that age, just to kind of figure out living on my own. I was in a whole country by myself.
Yeah.
So you're figuring how to stretch, you know, a couple of dollars and do that and still try to travel to places you've never seen in your life. Like none of my family has been across the pond.
Sure. And here you are getting paid out there to play a sport and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was going to try to do whatever I can to travel and see the world while also trying to balance like making money and making a living. So.
For sure. Now with Clay, what's interesting is when he was on Becca's season, another reason why I made it to hometowns, otherwise I wouldn't have. Clay was going deep.
I think Clay would have won.
I think Clay would have won. Like top two.
When did you? It was
Colton came in fourth. Uh-huh. I came in third.
Okay.
And then Blake Horseman came in second.
Oh, okay.
And Garrett won. So Blake and Garrett had like a true, real connection.
Yeah. Right.
And then Colton was such a good story. Like even if they didn't have a connection, he had to go. And I think Clay would have taken it, but he got hurt in the football game and then had to go rehab himself to actually go try out for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
and
that's insane.
And then he got cut.
Yeah, well,
he got hurt at tryouts.
He like smacked into a wall.
Yeah. Telling you, if he didn't get hurt, no chance I go to hometowns. But let me ask you this. When you went on the Bachelorette, did you have to make a career sacrifice or did you know that your football career was dwindling?
You know, yeah, I figured it was dwindling. I knew I had to so one of the craziest things everyone says is like every athlete dies twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very true. So I was like juggling like what am I transitioning to when I've always been this athlete, always played sports, been playing football since I was four.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is all I know.
Yeah.
You know, and like when this opportunity came up, I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see what we can do with this and how it's going to, you know, what experience we can come from this. And, you know, obviously I went back and still played.
Yeah.
And I still want to play. I still feel like I can play.
Yeah.
But I obviously knew that it was, you know, rather than beating my brain in for a chump change,
let's get on reality TV.
Something that can change my life.
Let's start smiling and have a good time. Yeah. All right. So you go on the show. Greg, let's kick it to you though. So you were life insurance sales. You then quit after what, like 6 months or so?
Yeah,
it was
about 6 months.
You hated it. I listened to an interview that you couldn't stand it.
Yeah. It was tough with cold calling. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt like it was just like, so it was tough. Like, I felt it was really unethical, like calling like my people. And I felt like it was kind of like schemey a little bit. And like, you know, they're like, come on, Greg. I was going to, you know, my principal, my head coach, and like everything just felt so fake to me.
Yeah. It's a little, the way they structure that with like, you have to dial only your friends and family.
Right.
It's a little slimy.
Yeah. No, I felt really slimy. That, like I was like, you know, this isn't going to be for me long-term.
Yeah.
But I mean, the studying and like getting that license for me was no joke.
It's hard.
Yeah, man.
I did the same thing. Yeah. I felt slimy and I had to like, so I had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why I speak for
Did you get like your series seven?
Yeah. Well, I got the insurance license. You know how you have to first get the insurance license? And
life accident health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then started studying for series seven and six.
Uh-huh.
And then we ended up getting in the lending side.
Right.
But the like idea of calling mom and dad and being, let's sit down and talk about a whole life. I was like, I felt gross doing it.
Right.
I just didn't like it. So, but you, this is like the infamous story where to get your creative side, you're like, I just need something else in life. And that's when you started taking lessons.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't know what or how or how it was going to happen at all for me with acting. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, you know, I don't love it enough to be like doing Broadway type things. And like, I don't love it enough to
Can you sing too?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. I wish, bro.
I was going to say, can you dance? But last night,
you know what, man? If I could sing you a no by now, I'd be putting that shit out.
Seriously,
there
though, same. Yeah. I would be one of those dudes that would just like grab a guitar and
hell just start like
singing
everywhere.
In front of the camera.
Y'all ladies look bored over there.
Yeah. Or the guy that was playing the piano yesterday, I was like, could you imagine? Like, if you could just go to your piano and sing anything.
Oh my God.
That's
insane, dude.
Bro, Every special engagement that I need to do with my girl would be dawning in the song.
Yeah, that's it.
It's in a, all you need is a song.
Can you imagine,
I wrote this song about you today, baby.
Speaking of girl, we'll get to that for all the people that care, but not yet. Not yet. All right. So you do the acting lessons. And I heard, I think it was a Nick's interview. You're like, I was just looking for something to like get my creative juices flowing.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, and like, this is like what people say too. And like, I like, you know, see comments or people are like, he didn't just go to any acting school. He went to a prestigious and like, yeah it was a fucking good ass acting school.
You should be proud of that.
And like, you know what?
How'd you get in? Did you have to like try out to get
in? So no, I had to read the book. It was done by William Esper. And okay. he was one of the last remaining master acting teachers.
Oh, wow.
That was still living.
Dumb question for you. Uh-huh. Master at, what does that mean?
Like, just literally like,
it's kind of like karate.
Yeah, oh, okay. Like a black belt of acting.
Yes,
like he's like,
much.
Okay.
So like there's something called like the Meisner technique where like it was known by actors worldwide and people were studying this technique, but it was kind of like, it was originated by Sandy Meisner, but he grew up in acting with Sandy Meisner.
Okay.
And he brought that technique to his own studio.
Got it.
And he was just teaching it. And like, he was one of the only people left in like the art of like old school acting that was like still able to teach.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to get a scholarship for basketball where it was a full ride. And then after that, my parents helped me out. Okay. And I forget how much it was a year.
When you say help me out, like help you out with what?
For acting. They were like, you know what? We really like...
want you to give it a shot.
Yeah, we paid for your sisters and brothers. So like, if you want to do this, we'll help you out. And I think it was around like $12,000
a year.
And it was like for 2 years. But the second time, or the second year, I lowered it. It was like, it was probably a little less because I had to do part-time because my dad got sick and stuff.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to be home like a lot.
Okay. But how do you, to get into like a prestigious school like that, do you have to do audition? I know you have to read the book, but like, how do you get into these schools?
So for me, it was
should we apply?
Oh, we saw you, man. I saw you. We saw that acting thing you pulled the other day on Instagram.
The little Disney, how do you do?
Yeah.
Page out of all your book.
I wish you guys can see this school. I mean, it is the most like, I had the most amazing teacher.
I'm
shout
super
out
jealous,
Suzanne.
Honestly.
Really?
It's really
she's,
one of the coolest things.
She is like one of the most powerful human beings I've ever been in a room with.
Did I meet her?
Yeah, you met Suzanne.
Yeah.
She just had such a strong impact on my life. And like, I was just really lucky. I think that I was one of the only individuals there that never had any experience.
Okay.
But I read the book and I was like, you know what? This is what I want. And I drove to the studio, introduced myself to her.
Cool.
And she was like, you know what? We don't usually let in people that don't really have any experience, but you seem like a green individual.
You are 6'2" and beautiful. And not,
you know what? You kind of look like Gosling. I taught him way back.
See the resemblance. Sign here, press hard. You're it.
Who was the guy when we talked to Drew Barrymore for a little bit?
So there's like a huge alumni that came out of this.
Oh,
school.
Yeah. Larry David took classes there. Jeff Goldblum.
So talk to me about this. Someone that's never gone to acting school. And they're interested in the career. They're interested in watching. They see actors. Like, what is the biggest like trading secret you give us from acting school? Either something that you actually apply to your life today, like you still like do it, or something like we just wouldn't know about acting.
Gosh. All right. For acting, I think that one, you got to be extremely lucky because there are a million amazing actors out there. And it's not just going to be your skill. I think that you got to also be a good people person. I think you got to build your connections. And I think that you're just going to have to grind it out. I think that if you want something bad enough, whatever it is in life, I think that you can eventually find that or find some sort of capacity of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, with acting, I can tell you right now, I knew how hard and rigorous it was going to be of work, and I was not willing to go down that path.
So it's a grind.
This attire is a game changer. Twillery. They offer stylish, performance-driven suits, shirts, polos, and jeans designed for every aspect of the busy working individual's life. So their clothes are wrinkle-resistant with plenty of stretch to keep you comfy. And yes, they're all machine washable. People are loving the new Air Suit, which is perfect for the spring and summer, especially if you're one of the people that sweats a lot. So they have this mesh fabric that's lightweight and it will keep you cool. They keep selling out. And their long-sleeve performance button-downs are as comfortable as your favorite t-shirt, but it looks stylish enough for the office or a date night. Now there's a special going on. New customers, for my listeners, will get 18% off when you spend over $139. You'll just use the code JTA18. That's JTA18 for 18% off at checkout. Twillery is an absolute necessity for the summer and spring.
Well, we know like in football, like bench press, squats, there are numbers that connect to like success and strength. Is there anything in acting school that like, you know, this person is good because they could either like cry on demand or like instantly do something that's special? Like, what's the thing? Is there something you're supposed to be able to do when you get out of there? Or is it not like that?
So I was always taught in that school that acting is the art of acting truthful under imaginary circumstances.
Interesting.
And when you're able to just open yourself up to the scene. And like when I was watching these people work, it's just like some of the most incredible things when like you're able to just like see somebody be completely vulnerable.
Yeah.
And honestly, it just takes just like a really strong person just to get up there and just be like, I don't give a fuck about these 15 other people watching me right now.
Yeah.
This is how I would live in this situation right here.
Yeah.
And like, these are my walls. You guys can judge whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And like, this is just me.
I love it.
Yeah, and I loved it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. One thing I think too is like, you know, there was some like pushback, whatever, like, oh, he's an actor and you're on the reality show. But like, if you go to any late night show and you see the actors, even the best in the world can't like go into acting mode. And they're like awkward in person and you're
So yeah,
I don't think that like, especially reality TV, for anyone that's been in it, us three have been in it, it is, even if you're like a super trained actor, it's impossible.
Yeah.
To go into acting, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. You can't.
I felt like the more I planned things,
the more you were fucked up.
Without a doubt.
When you tried to be like script driver, it was a mess.
My whole paradise was like,
I don't think there's, and there was an actor on this past season and no one said a word about it.
So
there's no connection between acting and falsifying your way through reality TV.
Isn't that incredible? There was an actor on
that. Not one person said anything.
I couldn't act for shit. And my ass cooked. Somebody saw. They were acting like I was Meryl Streep.
Literally. All right, let's wrap up the acting thing with this. Yeah. Anything about the career that you know as far as it connects to like the dollars and cents? Like when you audition, do you know like how do people get paid in this space? Obviously, we see the big contracts from like the big actors, but anything about like the economics of acting you know about possibly even thinking about pursuing a career in it?
I have no idea. I haven't even been on an audition in my life.
Wait, seriously? You've never done one audition?
I haven't done one audition.
You've been real? Dude, I've even done an audition.
Yeah, I've never done one audition.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm shocked. Your school sucks, dude. School of hard knocks over here. You were an audition.
It was so tough and like,
yeah, dude, it's the scary shit in the world.
Honestly, like,
it's
terrifying. I wish you guys could see, like, the situation I was in. There's something called mass class where this guy, oh my God, it was the craziest fucking time of my life. This guy was a certified witch. Whoever's, like, listening and if, like, you guys don't believe in this shit, whatever. This guy was 100% a witch. And he walks in, full on robe, walking in. And he's like, it was like Fight Club. He walks in and he's like, there's only like three rules. You will be unapologetically you. And if you're late, you will come in and just announce without any hesitation or grief that you are late. Like I've seen dudes walk in and like they tried. Like he was late. I made sure I was never late because I never wanted to do this.
Yeah.
But like they were like, I'm late. He was like, get the fuck out of here.
And he like actually kicked him out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, dude. This guy was fucking insane, bro. I tried to connect with him one time and have a conversation with him. And he was like,
Wait, he's got the robe on?
Oh, my God, dude.
I need an actual picture.
I'm not kidding you. His name's Akil. I think he was like 50. And like, he was fucking ripped. Like, yeah. No, I wish, I wish people could see this.
That's good, by the way. Put that on your reel. That little fucking move right there.
One of the most incredible experiences of my life.
I went to one acting class and Jonathan Schaech got me in. He was on That Thing You Do. Because I was just curious. I sat in the back and just watched. It was intense, dude. Because if you don't come prepared with your lines, like the guy was like Simon Cowell, same thing. He would ream you out. Uh-huh. Then one girl, I've never seen or heard this before. She was preparing for the scene where she comes in yelling at her husband who cheated on her. And before the scene, she just said to the class, she's like, are you guys okay if I scream? She screamed bloody fucking. Jesus. I actually will be honest, I've never heard a human in my life scream the way she screamed to prepare her mind to get in. And then when she went in, the guy's like, not good enough. He brings her in the back and I'm in the last row so I could hear her, and he starts talking about her ex-boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Because like they obviously had some relationship. Yeah. He's like, remember when he did this? Remember when he did that? And she just starts bawling her eyes out. And as she's bawling her eyes out, coach goes, we good? We filming? And she's bawling. Yeah, go now. And throws her in there. And we see, I'm like, this shit is nuts. Yeah, I thought banking was crazy. No, I thought this was some hard work. This is a whole different ball game.
It's gnarly.
All right, we'll wrap the acting, economics, career, and behind the scenes with that. Let's fast forward. You get off the show. Talk to me about what does business look like for you? Are deals coming in? How long does it take? What are the deals? What does the economics of like your job look like right when you get off the show? Andrew, we'll start with you.
Pretty slow right off the jump. You know, I think Cameo was carrying a lot of us.
Oh my God, you were on that.
Crushing Cameo.
What was your price point? What were you doing?
I was very cheap. Yeah. You know, I'm not that cool.
The high volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I mean, if people want to say hi or want me to say hi to them, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to charge $175 for one video for 15. Yeah. Like, that's who do I think I am?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would do like $10 FaceTimes and we'd talk and literally have like a little
date. For 60 seconds, right?
It's a good way to connect
60 seconds.
Too.
Yeah. I was like, all right, let's do this. And we would just chat and he'd be in the videos and whatnot. Cool. We'd just hang out. I was like, well,
I'm too awkward for that. He was made for that.
Yeah. And I just came back from Austria and I wasn't going back. I was teaching as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I teach as well when I would go half in Austria and half teaching and coaching the second half.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, I'm going to go all in with this like influencer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you went full speed in with it.
Yeah.
Right like after. For first year, give me an approximation. How much you think you made if you had to guess?
First year.
Well, we couldn't post.
For
3 or 6 months? What was it?
3 months. They don't do it like they do it anymore. Like they
do deals.
Oh, I think it's 3 months now.
You still have to
get approval for a while.
Yeah.
So. Oh my God, the approval sucked, man. We had to turn down a lot from the approval.
Yeah, we had some big numbers.
Yeah, we've had some like Colton and a few others that came on saying like how much money they lost in that period.
No, I would probably say the first year, probably around 75.
Okay.
Nothing crazy.
And so that was full time though.
That was full time, but like it's changed different. It's way different now. Like
have you had a year? Was that your lowest earning year with social media since? So every year has it grown every year since then?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2024, is it trending to be better than it was back? Yeah. And when was it? 2021 that you got off? 2021. Okay.
So every year's gone up.
Okay, every year's gone up. Yeah. Are there other ways that you've implemented like earning income, or are you all in on content creation?
No. So I'm hoping to be working with ESPN more.
Yeah.
Hopefully get into broadcasting.
Are you currently working with ESPN?
I have a little in.
Amazing.
I've been on College Game Day a couple of times now. I've worked with them for the Rose Bowl and the national championship game.
Cool.
And I did a little thing with the NFL as well. So hopefully I'm just trying to like, I mean, my agency is just trying to get me into broadcasting.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, we're partnership in a way. So you know, if we don't do a podcast, if we don't do a whatever the case may be, maybe we come out with our own Hallmark movie.
You gotta come up with something.
Yeah.
You
so I think that's really what we want to push. Obviously, influencing has done very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's like my end game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's our end game at all.
Yeah.
But right now,
but it could be.
It's doing
a lot.
We're not mad at it.
I mean, there's a lot of money. That's, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's a big business.
Yeah.
You know? But there's obviously other things you could spin off.
Yeah. And we try hard for our ads. Like, we're putting on costumes and you know, so we make sure that it's not, it's like something that people aren't just like, oh, they're just using this to get money or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the same time, like we put a little art into it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to kick it to you when you get off the show. But it's, suppose your structure now. Suppose you guys get a deal. I don't know. Let's say it's White Claw. Okay.
And they have a White Claw deal.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I got to post it tonight. Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Was it Super Claw?
No, this one.
I got to do the vodka.
Okay. I got to see different. They gave me the 0%. I got to do like business networking 0%. Yeah. We all got our brand. This is the vodka brand.
I love it. That video's gonna be nuts, man. I'm in like a 70s outfit with an afro on. It's so stupid. Yeah.
All right. Back to the question. You do a White Claw ad and Greg comes in it. How do you guys, do you have like a structure? You give him like $100? Do you give him a cut? Or do you just say, like, I'll help you, you help me?
Yeah. It's just, I think that's how it is in general. Like, I don't think we ever like look at each other to like, are you gonna pay me back for blah, blah, blah. It just kind of works itself out. Whether we grab dinner, whoever puts his card down first, or if no one's paying attention, like it just you know what I mean? Our friendship is way more than that. And I think we're never looking at it as a price. Like if he needs help with anything, I mean, he's like my brother, so it's easy. So
family right there.
Yeah.
All right, let me take a guess. And you can tell me to F off if you want, but I gotta do it since you're on Trading Secrets. Okay. This past year, over $200,000.
No, I think you're right
around there.
Right there.
Okay. Right there. I was going to guess right about that. Okay.
Amazing. Projected more, though.
This year is going to be more than that. Let's go. I love to hear it. All right. We're kicking it out to you, Greg. You get off the show.
Yeah.
Your journey was, right? Your journey was like, you had all these fans. We had to deal with adversity and there's lefts and rights and all these things.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what it looked like from earnings, economics perspective right off the show.
Right off. So it was about, when did we get off? It was August. When does GovBall hit?
That's like September, October.
Is it September? Yeah. I got like my agent reached out. I have a new agent now, but my old agent reached it out. And they're like,
do you guys have the same agent or no?
No, not anymore. No. Because
we can do same deals. We're
doing non-exclusive for a while.
Greatest decision of my life.
If honestly. We bring you guys, go non-exclusive. Like, so if, suppose I got you guys a deal. Can I bring it to you or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I work with Parker.
Parker's great.
I think that you guys are close with Parker.
We have a relationship with them. Parker's great. Yeah.
But right off the show, I was like, holy shit, because I got reached out to by a brand to go attend GovBall. They're like, oh, like they want to pay you $20,000 to be in this tent for 10 minutes with fans and eat lunch and snap a photo. I was like, fucking excuse me.
I was calling my principal to sell life insurance to make $200. Yeah, sorry, and I give me $20,000.
Yeah. So that was just a huge shock, honestly, especially with like how I was living prior and like the means that I was. And like, I didn't grow up rich at all. Yeah. And especially we struggled a lot with my dad being sick. My mom lost a lot of money. And I mean, I was trying to do everything I can. I mean, I was bartending, I was fit modeling, I was Ubering. It was tough.
To contribute to the family.
Yeah, it was tough. Wow. And just like hold my own. Cause I was just like, I can't rely on them. Yeah. And like I was 24 years old, like being like, I gotta fucking shape up.
Yeah.
And like I was trying to do everything I can, just make any amount of money I could.
Yeah.
Just like help out in any way. So like getting these deals was just, I was like, and like, I wasn't even, there was obviously that period of time, 3 months where there's like no deals.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't even able to entertain it.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I mean, that was like a huge shock of finding out, figuring out the social media.
It's a whole, like the whole game is economy, nuts. Yeah. The money about it's nuts.
Dude, it's the coolest thing.
I want to ask one question. And if you want to pass on this, totally pass on this. But I was just thinking, I always think, unfortunately, through tragedy, we can like learn a lot and probably do things
absolutely
differently. So given what happened to your father and maybe some of the healthcare costs associated or different insurances or anything, is there anything that you would have, either your mother would have done differently, you think he might have done differently just from like a planning preparation that like maybe one person listens to this, they could take that advice and maybe apply it to like their families or life?
You know what? It's tough because obviously, I think that there's better routes that we could have taken to like save money, but like he was in the hospital for his last, I want to say 10 days. And like he was on his last few days.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really able to communicate with us anymore. And he was pretty much telling us that like all he was like really heavily drugged and like he was just communicating though. He was like home. He kept on saying home. And like we had to rent our own ambulance, rent their own bed. And I think that was around like $17,000 to drive him about a mile because the hospital is around the hospital is around a mile from my house, and yeah, I'm you know what? I don't think that looking back on it, I don't think my mom would change anything because he was, as soon as we got in the house, we turned on the Cowboys game and then he passed right then and there, right after the game. But like he passed where he wanted to go. And I think that like, you know, when you're going through tragedy, I think it's tough. And like, I think that making that person comfortable is probably the most important thing. So like just trying as best as you can to just like help that person out the best way you can. Yeah,
exactly. Well, thank you for talking about that. I know that's probably tough to even rethink about that stuff, but
yeah, no, it's fine.
Through that, through all those, I think there's just so much that, you know, we could take away and learn. And when I hear some of those price points, it's just nauseating.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. $17,000
that
they charge for a mile.
Yeah, it was wild. Bullshit. Yeah, it was wild.
It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
So hopefully there are some changes in that department moving forward, because that's absolutely ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. When you look forward right now, so 2024, you guys have momentum at your back. You guys got your skits you're doing together, your engagements off the charts. There's some new updates in both your lives personally. We'll get to that in a second. But like professionally, what does it look like? 1, 2, 5 years? Like what's the dream? We'll kick it to you first.
You know, I'm enjoying at this point in my life because, you know, it is good money, but the thing that I'm most happy about is that we're legitimately having fun doing shit.
Yeah.
And like,
no better substitute.
And I don't think that there's like what you do, like if you're saying something and people are like, holy shit, I didn't know that, you know, I'm sure that brings a lot of joy into your life. Like, and for us, like, just like seeing people laugh or something, or like bringing, or people coming up to us on the street and being like, you guys make me crack the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of fills us up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You better pause that shit. Okay.
Yes. But you know what I mean?
Fills me up, eh?
Yeah. Anyway.
Talking about himself.
That love you, man, skit you guys did. That was gold.
Well, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. We are not the originators of that skit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. That's one of the only, obviously there's trends on social media and shit.
Yeah.
But that was a skit done about fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And
was it on social media?
Yeah, and it was on social media because it was these dudes made a TikTok about it, and like, but also it was done prior to that, like years ago, like hundreds of times.
And a bunch of people have done it too, and we thought it was funny, and we put our spin on it,
and we put our spin on it, and like people are going, people are giving a shit.
I watched it like six times
because you know our personality, you know who we are, you know that we have this like good brotherly bond.
Yeah,
like that's why it makes sense for us to do that video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why, like, I think it does well. And I feel like everyone's like, oh, you stole the skit. Like that's someone else's work. No, I think a lot of it is because people know how we are with each other.
Yeah.
Combined with the skit makes it good.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. So you made it your own. You made it your own.
Yeah.
Greg, I got to backtrack just a little bit. We got to talk. Have you done anything? Is content creation full-time job since the show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me an estimate. Where are we at here?
It was around 4 last
year. Let's go, baby. Yeah. I don't understand the numbers, and he has really good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand how really good his numbers and
your engagement,
like, his engagement, both and how both your he does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's some really, and for like the amount of followers that he has, he doesn't have a lot of followers compared to some other people, but the numbers that he puts on the table,
it's crazy.
Thank you, man.
I've
like
seen him.
Doubles.
Oh, it's crazy.
People with like tons of more followers. So I'm like, I'm
that's
like,
really nice, bro. Thank you.
Shut up.
That's why. That's true, though.
That's how you
crazy.
Get paid.
Yeah. It's all KPIs. Like the followers doesn't mean shit.
Followers doesn't mean anything. It's about your engagement and what you're bringing in. And he does a really fucking good job.
Exactly. That is awesome. Well, you two have a bright future together. But so what's going, like, let's talk about this. What's the arrangement? Are you guys like, do you live together? Are you living separately?
No.
Do you have film days? What's the business structure look like?
He lives down the street. He's doing Chicago stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. You know, we do a lot of videos together. We work together. So
like, how many hours a week are you working on stuff like this?
Dude, we're just being ourselves, man.
Yeah. Honestly, I have a notes app where like, I'll I'll like
come up with the idea.
I I'll just write down shit. Mm-hmm. He'll be sending me shit all the time too.
Yeah.
About like ideas, and then
we spitball, dude.
Yeah, like, we kind of just like spitball, but like we do have like we just have so much fun with it. I think that both of us are creative in our own sense.
Very creative.
And like we just Key and Peele are I think are both our inspirations in life with like doing shit, and we're obviously nowhere near them.
Yeah. But that's
at all. But doing shit like that, like is like kind of like what at least we try to model after.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
And we've have such a broad, you know, humor from like we can tap into so many different spectrums.
Yeah.
And I think that's like really important. I feel like we're relatable to so many groups of people.
Yeah.
And like that's the best part about it. And obviously, you know, comedy's kind of, it's hard to do in these day and age.
So hard.
And
so
I feel like one of the things is like, obviously we're going to be smart about it, but we kind of want to bring it back to how comedy usually was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think there were some, like Vince Vaughn. We love Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Classic. Oh my God, like, dude. Like, oh my God.
Like
God.
Guys classic. Like that, man. Yeah. Like Will Ferrell and you got like Ben Stiller. Like those little stupid movies that they made were so good.
So good.
I just went back and watched Old School.
It's the best.
And I cracked it's up. Just, I couldn't believe
it. So
this
you're
movie
bringing you're going to bring us back to Wedding Crashers and Old School.
Yes.
Okay.
Bro.
Well, I'm going to be watching everything you do.
Yeah, that's something we want to do.
This is a bit of a more than money subject, but it's such an important one. It's about our sex life. Sex is important, but sometimes our schedules get in the way. So I have a solution through Hims. If you know any men out there that are struggling through any type of situation when it comes to sex, for example, erectile dysfunction, Hims can help you from the comfort of your home. What you'll do is you'll answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment for you. And if prescribed, your medication will ship right to you for free. No insurance is needed. Now, we always talk money on this podcast, so there are options, right? Hims provided access to doctor-trusted treatments like ED are available. They have chewable hard mints. They have brand name treatments like Viagra, or they also have different generic alternatives for up to 95% less. So, take your sex seriously, and if you are having any issues in that department, check out Hims. Start your free online visit at hims.com/tradingsecrets. That's hims.com/tradingsecrets for your personalized treatment options. hims.com/tradingsecrets. Hard mints are chewable, compounded products which are not approved or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important information. Subscription required. Prices vary based on product and subscription plan.
Well, speaking of Wedding Crashers, that's another air. I mean, a lot of comedy. There's a lot to talk about. I think there's something new you guys might be able to dabble into. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can confirm or deny, but both of you two have been in the news lately. So comedy in dating.
Yeah,
I think that might Rom-coms. Be a new niche for you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start with you, Andrew. Are you single?
I am single, yes.
You're single.
Yeah.
So, but you were in a relationship.
I was in an 8-month relationship.
8-month relationship. When did that end?
We were very, very private. Well, we like threw off scents. We didn't follow each other. We just, we like knew. Yeah, it was just.
Interesting.
It was different.
Okay.
It was different. You know, I'm trying to try different things of how to navigate this public relationships. Because everyone you date now, everyone's going to have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
It's really hard.
See that, man. Like, you know, and obviously your partner as well. You want to protect them and they want to protect you. So I just like, I think a lot of it was a lot. It was a lot.
Do you think it was some of the public pressure that led
1,000%.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Even without following each other?
Yeah, I think it just puts a lot of doubt in your head.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you get that doubt, if you're doubting someone, like it's never going to work.
Yeah.
Like I want to be, if I'm going to be with someone, I want to be super sure about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that person so much, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there was instances where I wasn't my best self.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, what's going on? What am I thinking? And what are people saying? And I think that took a toll on our relationship a little bit.
But you publicly came out though, right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, just so I can understand the noise that impacted you. So,
This was my publicly.
Okay.
I had like a thing with someone before, but it was never like, I never posted them or whatever.
Yeah.
So this was like the first one. I was like, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to do it. And it was such a very unconventional way how I did it.
Okay.
You know, we met and I was just, I don't know what it was. I was just like, this person.
He was in love.
Yeah. Yeah. It was instant. And like, yeah. I will always go with my heart. And if my heart loves it, my head was like, this is probably a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But my heart was like, nah, man, like there's something, there's so much love with this person.
Interesting.
Like, this is good. Like,
yeah.
Run with it. And I did. You know, there was a little bit of a bachelor age gap.
Yeah.
Like everyone know how it goes. They were younger than me.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that noise.
It's
a tidal wave, but that noise is, I always say like the idea, I know public relationships, you know, I've been in them and you've been in them. And the idea of like going public with a relationship now is so terrifying because if that foundation is not ironclad.
Yeah.
Toxicity from the outside will come in, will infiltrate it, and can ruin it. And I think that played a big part in my situation too.
No, I understand that. It was
tough. I get that. Couple things with the new book coming out, I want to ask you, and then Greg, pivot to you, is just talk money to me. It's obviously about managing money with relationships and stuff. Did that ever come into play in your previous relationship?
We were so good at that. Yeah. They make more money than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we never, you know, paying was never a thing. We both grew up very similar. We weren't like the richest.
Yeah.
So we never like needed extravagant gifts or anything like that.
Yeah.
We just enjoyed our time together.
That's great.
That was it. And obviously they lived in New York. I lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I had to fly.
Yeah. That's a lot.
But it was worth it. Like I felt like that was, that's something I would do 100 times over with my partner any day of the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So, I mean,
last question I got for you. Professionally, do you feel like now personally the breakup's over, you know, you're moving on or have moved on. Do you feel like professionally you're more productive now or you're in a better place? Like, do you see the connection to personal and professional success or no?
No, we still talk.
Okay.
Not like dating, but like they're like a good, we were a couple that FaceTimed and talked all day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on that period where we're just kind of like tailing off.
Yep.
But I feel like nothing's changed. Like my life doesn't derail.
Yeah. Okay.
Off of you know, a relationship.
Like you kind of separate.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, like when we're out, like wherever we are, I will never make it about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never about me. I'm always about the group and
the energy.
The energy. I'm the energy guy.
You are the energy.
I gotta be
the
smile guy. And you know, obviously, those days do get tiring.
Sure. Sure.
But I feel like that's what I've been put on earth to be. To be. And I enjoy that. So I just like, I don't make it about me, man.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, your friend over here is picking his nails. We don't have to get into this, but I got to at least ask. We know that you guys did not follow each other. You and Victoria did follow each other, but now I saw that you don't.
Wow, that was a great segue.
Was that a good transition there?
That was fire.
I had to think about that one. Yeah. What's going on? Are these rumors true?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, being in a public relationship and if things aren't working out, it sucks even more.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, sad, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's like really sad. And like, you know, I just want to respect her during this time and, you know, not go into detail on anything.
Of course,
but of course, yeah, like we've definitely ended things. But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything bad to say. Like she's amazing. And I know that she's going to continue to do amazing things.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just to connect it, and if you don't want to discuss this at all, we'll just pass, but I want to connect it to Andy's situation and even what I said. Do you think, obviously when you started the relationship, there was like that whole thing with Paradise and the Johnny guy and all this stuff. And then the public space, it's hard. It's like really hard. Do you think that played into anything or no? I think what Andrew and I are connecting to with like public noise impacting our relationships.
Like, I feel like that made you guys stronger in a way.
Yeah,
like
you know what?
Really?
Oh my gosh. I mean, at the end of the
day. Can you write us a textbook on that, please?
At the end of
I watched it. I was like, oh my God.
Right. Show me your playbook.
Connecting more?
I think that the woman in the franchise get attacked.
Yeah.
Especially, like.
Totally.
Especially just like a select few of them. Like, no matter what they do.
Yeah.
And like, granted, I think that it goes for a lot of the people, but especially I think like, you know, anything she does gets scrutinized, I feel like. She has a really good heart. It sucks because, you know, seeing somebody go through that type of shit, especially somebody that you're with and in a romantic relationship with, like, is really tough.
It's hard to watch.
It's really hard to watch. And I hated that part of it all, but it definitely grew us really close. And we were definitely able to like go through like a really hard time.
Yeah.
Really early.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That actually like served as a way to bond you guys, in a way, to like break it up.
Definitely.
Amazing. Well, we'll end it there. Sorry that both of you guys went through a break. Breakups are never easy.
No one ever
wins in a breakup.
No.
Yeah.
It's sad, but hopefully creates an opportunity to grow and move on to, you know, whatever the future might look like. So the future right now looks like you guys are in Chicago. And what is it like when you think about your life, what does it look like next?
I'm on this, you know, this stage of my life right now, I'm really happy about and excited for. It's just like, it just feels really fresh. You know, for so long, I've always felt a lot of guilt trying to, you know, moving to New York right after, I'm sorry to bring this up again, but like my dad passing, I think is just such an impact on my life. After my dad passed, like I left and like went to New York and like just thinking about like my mom at home because I grew up, I was the youngest of four, home was filled with love, laughter all the time, noise, games playing. And like thinking about her in an empty house just absolutely killed me. So like, I never even actually got to experience New York when I was here. I would drive home, I mean, 5 times a week, probably, or once every like 5 days. I mean, and like stay through the weekend. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, having my own place has been tough because I wanted to be in Chicago, and then like I felt bad. But you know what? We've gotten to like a new stage of acceptance of like the grief. I think like grief, everyone handles it differently. And like I've just always been a person that like my family always comes first, and like I just always wanted to like look out for my mom. But I mean, yeah, I mean, now I have a part-time place in Chicago until September. I'm also about to sign a lease in Williamsburg right now come June. And then I just applied the other day. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really happy about it. Like I was telling him, I was like, damn, this is like the lightest I felt.
Yeah.
I don't know how long.
You could feel it.
I can feel it, man.
Yeah. And I think like the benefits from feeling lighter and even though it's so hard to say goodbye and close a chapter that was so meaningful to you, the benefits of like grieving it properly and then being able to see that new chapter, I think it helps ever. Like your mental, your physical, everything about it, your spirits, your outlook, your future and business, all the things.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for what's to come for you.
I appreciate that. Man.
One question I got to ask you guys, both being single from the Bachelor franchise, like, do you ever see a business move into reality TV again? Do you see going on dating shows? Is that a possibility?
Dude, I'm at the point in my life where I could do anything.
He's like, fuck it.
Dude, I.
OnlyFans?
Yeah. No.
I mean, Tyler Cameron did.
No, I can do that. My mom would crush me.
Yeah, no way. No, I was just kidding.
Wait, was that real? Did he really do one?
Yeah, he did it, but he linked it to his new TV show.
Oh, no. Okay, well, that's fucking smart as shit.
My brother's
that's a genius
idea.
My
brother owns his own marketing company, and he said yesterday, he's like, absolutely genius by Tyler Cameron.
Genius. I can imagine how many clicks that got. Good for him.
For sure.
Good for him.
How about you? Possibility. So Andrew's in. Paradise, anything, you're it.
Yeah, I just got a dog, man. Like, I'm at the point where
thank God you created an Instagram for that dog. Yeah. Let's start monetizing. Yeah. Farmer's Dog, Furbo, all the brands. Give him a call.
I'm just like moving forward with life and doing things and experiencing things. Like, I miss my dog so much right now. I want to go home. Like,
It's
fun. Yeah, I can't wait to go home to my dog.
Yeah.
And just kind of growing. You know, putting yourself in situations where you're going to elevate yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm in right now.
Okay, I like it.
Whatever happens, I just need to do it.
Yeah,
you know
I like
I mean?
It.
I can't like sit here and dwell and think about what would happen. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean no good.
Once I kind of got through my breakup, like the first thing I said is like, I'm done overthinking things.
Yes,
I'm
just
I keep overthinking. I'm done. Just go do it.
Good,
you know
bad,
what?
If it happens,
you're
going to
make mistakes.
Like, stop worrying about things that you can't control and just live.
Just
you know what I'm saying?
And listen, as a result, like I feel like sometimes I get a little bit more negative feedback, like noise and stuff, like comments than I used to, but like, I don't care.
It's good.
I'm being myself, and if you don't like it,
exactly,
it is what it
man.
Is. I'm trying my best out here.
Exactly.
How about you? Any reality TV?
Reality TV. I mean,
would you be down?
Yeah. What kind of reality TV?
Like what about the influencer reality show that they like followed you? Like one of the. I think that's something that they're doing.
What's that?
They're doing like an influencer reality show or something like that. They just like follow some.
I think they should do like Shark Tank, but instead of Shark Tank, it's like dollars, but it's also you're like, it's influencers that are like buying, but also giving posts.
That would be funny. You know what I mean?
So like suppose someone comes here and we're like, okay, I'll give you 4 posts and 3 stories and a podcast interview. And you're like, well, I'll give them 4 skits. The comedy will get it going. Like, I think it'd be cool if you did like something like that.
That would be sick. Yeah.
But I'm going to put this out here. I don't know if anyone's put this out, but I might be the first to do it. I think a Bachelor season with you two is the batch. Could
they
you
imagine?
They
would never.
Could you imagine
the filming?
Could you imagine?
It would be too long
in the past.
Because there would be something where I'll look over and laugh. And I feel like we won't be able to stop. We would have to stop filming because there's no way we would be serious.
In the past when like that was getting rumored for like a little bit after Gabby and Rachel.
I'm bringing that rumor back.
After Gabby and Rachel, we were cracking up about it because we were like, imagine if like one of us like really likes someone.
Hey man, can we make a trade?
But how good TV would that be? You're like, all right, listen, you get the king size bed, I'll get the queen, but I get Emily on my show. Unbelievable. I think
she's the one for me.
I think they got a listen.
I mean, it'd be terrible though if I ended up with like 20 girls and he gets like 10. You know?
That's there we go. See, this right here is proving my point exactly why we need this. All right, let me ask you this. Couple rapid fire questions, and then we'll get your trading secrets. So first rapid fire question is going to be 1 to 3 words you could pick. When I say your relationship with money, what are 1 to 3 words you think about? We'll start with you, Greg. 1 to 3 words with money.
One to three words.
I say money, you think?
Can't take it with you.
Can't take it away. That's a lot of words. I need like words.
Okay. Frugal.
Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. Yeah. Okay.
Not that important.
Okay. Lack of importance. All right. One thing you spend too much money on, but you know you overspend it on.
Travel.
Like actually like the flights or the whole thing. I mean, just numbers, all travel.
All of travel. Yeah. I mean, food too.
I was going to say that. Dinner's this fucking dude. Yeah. Bro.
Dude thinks he's
fucking Gordon Ramsay when he goes to restaurants. Like, oh yeah, we're going to try that too. Yeah. Like,
bro, you know what? Let's get the chef selection for $600.
This is what he does. And I'm like, bro, I'm like, dog, this is why I don't like going to dinner. I honestly hate going to dinner with him.
Because he just orders like
an animal. Orders and we split the check. And I'm like, bro, and he don't
eat. Do you eat it all?
He doesn't eat.
See that? See,
I'm pissed.
I order it all. But eat it. That's my thing.
If it's in front of me, I'm going to eat. So I'm gaining all this weight.
And then I'm watching him.
Dude's just like, damn, bro, you really ate all that. Like, what the fuck? I'm paying for this. Talking about frugal. Bro just sat here and said frugal while he ordered 6 T-bone steaks and only had a corner.
Yeah, no, frugal is probably a bad word for me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. This dude's the worst.
I got a financial trading secret to you, and it's brought to you by our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. So the biggest thing with finance is like, how do you understand how to manage your money, especially investments, if you don't have visibility to it? So imagine being able to see all your retirement and investment accounts in one place. Well, with Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views from multiple accounts into one hub. So for example, if you have a 401k over at Fidelity or my Charles Schwab investment account, with the hub at Yahoo Finance, I can see all of it. And then I can get expert analysis on top of it all. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind literally every great investor out there. So whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance or you're just getting started, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, because that's important, you need the news and the analysis, and to see all of it, just visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That is yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the game changer with money management.
Yeah. Andrew, what about you? What's one thing you overspend on, but you know you overspend on it?
I would say food.
Okay, same thing.
I think, you know,
here's the thing. Everyone wants to do the cooking thing.
Yours might be clothes, man. You shop a lot.
I do shop a lot.
Yeah.
That's dumb. You know why that's dumb? Because you could just get free stuff. Like you have
But I have an acquired style. I like to be a 90s dad.
Oh,
I
don't know why.
You pull it off. He rocks it. No, he does rock. He has his Deion Sanders fit on
today. So like when you get dressed in the 90s. Morning, you think like 90s dad.
I think 90s dad. I think from someone from Full House or Fresh Prince. That's literally what.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep this going then. If I give you $50,000 right now, you got to spend every penny in 24 hours. No, by tomorrow morning, it's got to be spent. What are you spending it on?
What am I spending it on?
50K. It's right here. 50K. You got to spend it.
I think I'm just going to invest it in Coinbase.
Wow. Let's go. All right. That's a great answer.
I was going to say, take all my friends and family to a trip.
Well, that's great. I think that's great. All right. Those are two really good ones. And 5 years from now, what's your dream income? Like you want to make this much and you think it's attainable 5 years from now, or within 5 years, you hit this point. What would be that income point?
You know what? If I had like, if I'm capable of doing what in my mind, hopefully I can do.
Yeah.
Hopefully a million at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's happening.
Honestly, I'm not really big on money.
I love it.
I just want to be, I want to have enough to take care of my family and be comfortable with that.
Okay.
And obviously comfortable is a terrible word to use.
I was going to say maybe the one word money means comfort to you, which I think is great.
Yeah, it does.
I think that's great.
Not having it growing up to now like having it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's great to have it, but at the same time, like I know I'm so responsible about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I ain't spending on that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
And yeah. I think for like one word for me is freedom. Like money gives me freedom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why I like, it's like, if I have more, then I could do
also,
what I want.
But it also like scares me. So it's like freedom, but I'm like, oh my God, I caged a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go back to where I was before.
Exactly. Exactly.
So like it kind of.
Yep. I got that. All right. Two more for you. What is like one financial mistake? If you look at all your spending or earnings or like a big mistake you made financially, it could be investing or you spent something that didn't make sense. It was dumb. You're just like, that was stupid. A financial mishap you've made in your life. Greg, we'll start with you.
Oh man. No, I can't.
Yeah.
No, I gotta know what it is.
Just say gifts, bro.
Yeah.
You bought a gift.
Yeah, it would be.
don't give us any more. You said gift, but how much was the gift?
Huh?
How much was this gift you're
that
referring to?
That motherfucker be balling.
Frugal my ass.
I mean, hell, me and Victoria did our first date together in Rome. I mean,
your
that was
first date.
Yeah, I mean, like that was like when we first like, we're like, you know what? Let's try this out. Let's go get a drink. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go like.
Wait, Rome, like Italy.
Yeah, we can do it.
We couldn't do it in the States, bro.
Dude, you really do need a Lifetime movie.
I'm telling you, we got one in the works. Don't worry.
I love that. Let me ask you this then. How much did you spend on that trip? 10 grand? 20 grand? What did you spend on that?
It was around
20
12.
Grand appearance goes right to Italy.
No, it was around 12 grand.
12 grand?
I mean, the villa in Capri was top notch. So,
villa.
Yeah.
I don't even know whoever is out there that dates Greg next, you are in for a treat.
You are living life.
No,
villa in Capri.
Date one.
Date with me in Villa Capri.
Andrew, how about you? You got to have one.
What?
One financial mishap.
Buying tables
that's the dumbest thing.
I hate
right?
it. It's the biggest waste of money. I mean, obviously, it's good with friends and you want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at it afterwards. Like,
it's the dumbest thing.
I hate it.
It's so dumb.
I hate it so much.
And the way they upcharge those bottles.
Oh, come on.
Joke.
I can get that bottle for $25 down the road.
They charge $2,500. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I hate that. I hate that purchase.
All right. This is one most of my listeners, we call them the Money Mafia. It's mostly business related, but this one I got to bring in because I know they're going to want me to ask. I'll phrase it in a lot of ways to give you options. So I'm not putting you in the hot seat.
Okay.
But would you date someone in Bachelor Nation? If so, anyone that you've had like your eye on, anyone that you might have a little crush on, anyone you might just want to have a cup of coffee with, not a serious date.
No, I don't really have one that comes to mind.
Okay.
I don't.
Wait, seriously? Not one?
I haven't met any bachelor women until your party.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any. So I don't want to base anyone. No.
Have you ever gone on a date with someone from the Bachelor franchise?
Well, yeah, but we dated on Paradise for a little bit and then we went on a date after Paradise in Chicago. But other than that,
Other than that, not.
Dude, never.
Interesting.
Do any Bachelor?
And I've changed it up. I'm not meeting people online anymore.
Okay.
Like I want to no meet DMs. Someone organically. I want to meet them
No dating apps or anything.
I'm on dating apps, but yeah. like you know, I don't want to meet them that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like a safety blanket.
You know, there's a new dating app. I think it's called Score. She had advertised from dollar amount for this, but it's based on credit score. Like if you have over 675 credit score or something like that, there's different tiers and that's how you match with people based on credit score.
No shit.
I swear to God.
What? Yeah,
it just came out. All right. How about you? Same question.
What? Any Bachelor people? I yeah.
you're like, dude, I'm not going either.
Yeah. No, I mean, just getting out of this. I mean, this was heavy for the both of us.
You're not thinking about that.
I'm not. I'm really
you're
not.
There. Yeah, no. You're in repair mode.
Yeah, I really am in repair mode. And it's been
emotionally unavailable right now. Yep. I think that's where I'm at.
Oh, that's where you're at too?
Yeah. I just feel like.
But you just said you're not dating apps.
Well, yeah, you have it. It's like like a back pocket thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes, sometimes dating apps is literally
it's more of a conversation.
It's a confidence booster as well. It's oh, this person thinks I'm attracted. You're not really doing anything on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not meeting. I don't think I've met anyone from the dating apps.
Yeah, I got you.
So it's
All right.
So you're not really, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
It's just like something you have in your back pocket. Like I hope to meet someone organically.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Okay. I like it. Well, both emotionally unavailable. I wish you both the best through your process and journeys. If you ever need someone to call, give me a call. We'll talk.
Absolutely, man.
All right. So I also got to do this. I was going to do this at the top of the episode, but I got to do it at the end of the episode. I'm going to tell a nice, funny little story here. Yeah. Okay.
Let's do it.
So privately, I have said my apologies to Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's time to publicly say my apologies to Greg.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah,
here's a funny story. So when you were on Katie's season, right? I don't like doing this. I don't like when people do it. I got caught up in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Max was the host and, you know, a team Katie, whatever. Yeah. And I was talking shit. I was talking shit. And I shouldn't.
Talk shit about him all the time.
But you shouldn't. You should. And then what I said to you is like, you absolutely should never do that about someone, especially when you've been on the show, because you know that the edit is so left up to uncertainty.
Right.
And everything that happened to you wasn't edit based. It was all just like, I really don't even know how to summarize it. It was like,
you were
pulling strings to somehow take a side because you felt like you had to take a side when even there was no basis for the string.
There was no side. It was just,
I was just like, okay, this is where we're going with this. I'm going to stay on this. And so, but this is kind of a funny story. So I was a dickhead and I've taken ownership of that and it'll never happen again. But 3 years later, Caitlin and I go to
unbelievable.
I can't make this up. And I think, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
I think Victoria and Caitlin might have had a little something. I don't know. Maybe they didn't, maybe they did.
Yeah.
But Caitlin and I go to this sushi joint in Nashville and the server sits us at the bar. And so we sit down and look to the left and I look to my right and she didn't know like the whole Bachelor thing. Greg is right next to me.
Yep.
Victoria, right next to him.
Yeah, but all
so
at
you
the
got
bar.
Victoria, Greg, me, and Caitlin. By the way, no one else is at the bar.
Yeah, just
no,
it was insane. Empty spot.
Empty spot. Like you have no choice to be like, what's up? And we said hello, and you were so kind.
I appreciate
and
it.
And
man,
I got
so
home. And I just was like, I'm such a fucking idiot. Like, I've heard that you're such a great guy. You were such a great guy. You could have easily been a dick when I was a dick. And publicly, again, I want to say I'm sorry.
I appreciate it, man.
Back.
No, seriously.
I would never have done it knowing what I know now. I'm sorry for that.
Honestly, man, water under the bridge. But like, as soon as you reached out, I was like, damn, this guy's a real one for reaching out. So I appreciate it, man.
Awesome.
Seriously. Thank you, man.
Water under the bridge. Yeah. I'm here saying it. These two guys are fucking awesome guys through and through on the camera and off. But we got to wrap with the trading secret. So one thing that you could give our listeners, a tip, a trick, some type of piece of advice you've only gotten from the experience that you've had. It could be a life lesson, a money lesson, a career lesson, but a trading secret that they can't get in like a TikTok tutorial or a YouTube channel or anything like that. So who wants to go first?
I say it all the time. I always tell him. I was like, never panic.
Yeah.
I just never panic. Like, you know, shit's gonna hit the fan, you know, just stay cool, calm, and collected. I think, you know, a lot of bad things happen in everyone's lives.
Yeah.
And I think the moment you start like, is when it starts getting worse.
Totally.
So I think, you know, shit happens and just stay calm.
Cool. Let me ask you this though, follow up. For those that say easier said than done,
because they do panic, do you have like a tip that you use that if you feel like you're going to panic, like you don't? Like, how, do you have anything to like help people that kind of do panic a lot? See, or something you do?
That's going to be tough for him to answer. I just want to jump in because this man, this guy right here.
Cool as a kid.
See, no, I'm not joking you. This is why this guy is like my best friend.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like everyone always wonders like why we're always together. This guy, like he is one of the most incredible people I've ever met. But in terms of like that shit, he is just, he doesn't panic. And I think like, I don't know if it's how he grew up. I don't know if like it's what he's seen in life or like how he was raised, but like he's just able to hold himself and just like understand that, you know what, no matter in life, everything's going to be okay at the end of the day.
Yeah. So like it's like perspective almost.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you just, it's a have lot a good of perspective.
Base on perspective. Yeah, yeah.
I
could use more of that because I'm panic king over here.
Yeah,
I try to keep calm, but like internally, I panic a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like on the surface,
I'm like that. And then,
I'm also
panicking Skywalker.
Always this guy. Yeah. Like, what if this isn't? I'm like, bro.
Oh, I do the same thing.
And obviously, you have your little worries.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone has their little worries. It's, you know, you're human. You have your little worries. But I feel like don't make a bad situation worse.
I like that. That's a great trading secret.
Yeah.
And one I can even take
really good
away from.
That was great. Don't make a bad situation worse.
Make a bad situation worse. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What can you give us, Greg?
You know what? I think my trading secret would kind of maybe tie in with like the show a little bit. You know, I always thought, after it, especially, I always had to be like really buttoned up and like.
No, seriously. Fucking hated that. Era of my life.
That's the
where
worst.
I was like trying to be something.
Just worried about what everyone's going to say. Oh, and then one person says something, you freak out. Now that I'm like, okay, let them.
Yeah, that shit sucked.
Say whatever.
And like, you know, I think everyone has their own perspective on all of us and like an understanding and these images we portray, I guess. But like, I think one thing for me is just like, I like that I could be fucking weird sometimes. And like, for me, I just like kind of, I'm just like, you know, you just gotta, I embrace my weirdness.
Yeah.
I think like you just gotta embrace your individuality. And then I think good things will come to your life when you're authentically yourself.
100%. And I feel like the more you're yourself, the more vulnerable you are. And like, and the more the people that are always going to talk shit are always going to talk shit. And then the people that are like, want to get connected are even more. Those are the people coming up being like, you guys put a smile on my face.
No, exactly.
When I needed it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've tapped into that side of yourself.
Right.
And I don't think people talk like, especially from the show, there is obviously a ton of upside and we are very, very, I feel like privileged and even lucky to like get some of the upsides, get some of the numbers we talked about. But there's also a lot of mental mayhem that comes after the show. And I think we've talked about it. And it requires you to grow at such a speed because if you don't, you will get blown away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you either grow or you're just gonna be fucked. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's also nice that we have the opportunity to grow and have
honestly,
secrets
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that experience, man. It never stops. It just keeps going.
It keeps going.
Bachelor experience is just, you're getting new levels to it every single day.
Exactly. And you guys are just starting. So thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets. You guys crushed it. All right. Tell people where they can find all your Instagram handles, TikTok, everything you got.
At Andrew Z Spencer on everything. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, or X, sorry.
What's your middle name, Zachariah?
Yeah. Thank you for putting my government name on Trading Secrets.
Okay. Social Security. Come on. Bank account. What do you got?
About to get everything out of me now.
Personal financial statement. Bring it up.
Yeah. And, you know, also a side of hash brown. That is my.
Yeah, there you go.
My
plug him.
Instagram as well.
I think I follow him.
I miss him so much. But that's about it.
Okay. Great.
Oh, actually, we're having a YouTube channel coming out.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. We're going to start
What's
that.
The name of it going to be?
We even thought about it. This dude said Grandrew, and I was like, dude, get the fuck out. So that was the end of the conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like your couple name.
We've been debating on podcasts.
Well, Grandrew. Definitely go and follow Andrew, and then you'll have the YouTube link up that you guys can connect with.
Yeah.
Greg, where can people find you?
Just Greg Grippo. You know what I hate the most? It's when people spell my name with two G's, like it's egg. First off, I hate my fucking name. Greg sucks.
Why don't you change it?
Change my first name.
Dude, Giovanni's a good name.
Do you know how many people have come on this show and they have fake names? I didn't know.
Insane.
I've learned all
what?
Of them have fake names.
Who's got fake name?
Oh, Francesca Farago has a fake name.
What's her real name?
I don't even know. Dude, I in the recap, I don't even know. In the recap, I will go through the list in the recap and give you every fake name that someone on this podcast has had. It's so long. It's a laundry list.
I like Gregory.
All right, let's go to Greg. Yeah. Maybe this will be like a new chapter.
Anyway, my Instagram is Greg Grippo, and then my TikTok is Greg J. Grippo. Anyway, like,
all right, Jason, don't need to erase my identity, you sick fuck. All right, Greg, and you guys, go give him a follow. I just followed your dog, by the way, so put more content on.
That's a big follow. That's a big follow right there.
There's only one big follow. Get it going.
Come on.
It's just me.
Milk it out, bro. Milk
it. It's only Andrew. Yeah. Like, where's your dog, you narcissist?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys for being on Trading Secrets. Of course, bro. This was fun. This was such a pleasure. And I don't know, let's go have a drink or something.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing in the bell with the one and only, the Curious Canadian, on what was a electric episode with two Bachelor Nation legends, Greg and Andrew Spencer. David Ardoin, what are we thinking, my man?
I mean, that was fun. Like, that is what I want out of a Monday episode, Trading Secrets, to start my week off right. It was just fun. Like, everyone talks about a podcast wanting to be like listening on a conversation that they have with other people. And like, that was it. That was it right there. I was laughing. I was smiling. And I learned something about the two guests, which I think is always the goal as the host. So you said electric, I say fun. That's exactly what I think of when I think of those two guys. So I'm glad that their personalities truly came out. Maybe it was some of the, you know, maybe some of the feelings from the big party the night before that just kind of parlayed into the podcast. But Jay, I thought that was an awesome, awesome, fun episode.
Yeah, I'm so glad you had fun listening to it. We had so much fun at the party. You were so deeply missed. But I think when you see these two guys and what they have going on, I said it in the podcast, but I think this is just the start. And I know, David, one thing we talked about was like the joking of the fake names. Like, I bring it up in the recap. You and I just went over the list of people we've had on. Let's just name a few of them. You got Macklemore was one of them. We know Jax Taylor, Francesca Farrago. Anyone else that you came up with?
I mean, you think of like Carrot Top. You think of like Chicken. You think of like Brianna Chicken Fry. You think of like Corporate Natalie. Like, not some of these aren't using their other names, but they're throwing it in there where they still have that sense of privacy to use their, you know, their last name on their own. Because I could tell you what Corporate Natalie's last name is.
Like, even Your Rich BFF, branded by Your Rich BFF, right?
Exactly. Car Mom, Bachelor Data. A lot of these things are so important. You got to think, I mean, these two guys are hilarious. You got to think, if Greg doesn't like his name, especially when you spell it Greg with like egg, to end it with two G's, you got to think they got some creative juices flowing, maybe throw a naming skit on there to kind of re-identify his identity, because those guys are hilarious. So I think Greg suits him, though.
I feel like every question I asked, whether it was like, you know, Andrew, what do you make? First, Greg, what do you make? Or literally anything in between, they just turned it into a skit. Like, this was a comedy show, I feel like. Everything was just a skit. Like, I'm like, did you guys write all this before? Was this planned?
Well, what I think was so good about it was how they talked about wanting to bring back old school comedy, and the kind of way they toe the line with some of their jokes, but at the end of the day, laugh at themselves. Like, they know their jokes. Like, I think, you know, we're in such a cancel culture age where, like, people who don't identify and laugh at themselves are the people who risk it at being canceled. And these guys are just in it. I mean, they make fun of themselves more than they do anything else at their own expense. And one thing that I'll say too is, it was really cool to see all three of you guys resonate with the year after coming off the show and how, like, different you were to your core selves, how different you answered questions, how different that you perceived people's opinions and reaction, maybe how different you dressed or acted. And now, like, you guys are all coming into your own. Your quote unquote 15 minutes of fame are well past you. You guys are all making money year over year, more than the next year, all by finding your true authentic self. I thought that was one of the coolest takeaways, as you guys kind of came to that conclusion mid episode.
Yeah, I knew you were going to like that. I knew you were going to like that, because I know that you've seen that from me. You've seen, like,
terrified Jason off the show. Like, how do you handle this? To like slowly, slowly coming into my own and just being so comfortable with who I am and whatever someone says, they say, and it is what it is. Like, I don't, you know, I'm going to just try and be the best me and learn and grow. And I thought that you would find that interesting because now you have three people with all different, you know, all different experiences, all different journeys, all different even edits on the show, but all kind of saying the same thing. One thing I got for you, David, is like, through their journey, what was the most interesting thing to you in this episode? Obviously, there's a lot here, right? You have two people that had certain careers before the show. They went all in into their careers now. You know, their personal journeys with two breakups and like refueling and recharging to go to that next chapter. So I don't know, what was like of everything you heard? I know you had fun. What do you think was like your biggest takeaway, the biggest eye opener for you?
I just think that like, all three of you guys, and I'm sure a lot of people out there can look at where they are now and you can either attribute a lot of it to luck or you can attribute a lot of it to taking advantage of opportunities. And I think like, you know, Andrew's playing football in Europe, making $2,000 a month, like wondering what he's going to do next. Like Greg is doing whole life insurance sales and had been, you know, asked to come on the show a couple times and finally found his moment. Like, everyone is where they are in life because they took advantage of some opportunity. A lot of people could maybe be at different places if an opportunity that they thought was luck and didn't take it seriously, they passed on it. But I just think like these guys before the show took advantage of opportunity and after the show, so we're not talking about leads. We're not talking about, you know, guys who came final two. Like Greg, you know, had a really bad public image after the show because for whatever reason he got tied into wanting to be an actor and da 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 da. But they've really both like taking advantage of opportunities after the show as well. So I thought that you know, their real life, you know, experiences and stories of where they were in kind of this place of unhappiness to make a choice and say, this is an opportunity I'm going to pursue rather than just be like, ah, that'll never become anything. That for me was like, always will be the coolest thing of seeing people take the leap of faith. Because at the end of the day, we're all listening to people on your podcast and they all got there somehow. And if you're listening at home saying, ah, how do I get in that seat? How do I get people asking me things? Sometimes it's just about taking these things that seem so far-fetched that they end up becoming a reality.
Yeah, 100%. And even, yeah, I think you even said with Greg, like he obviously went through trials and tribulations after the show, but also had like that super engaged following. Like they call, I think the girls call themselves the Grippo girls. The girls that are like obsessed. Wow. Yeah, like he the people that love Greg, like, oh my God, they love him. And I said it on the show, he is such a sweetheart. Like both of them are such nice, kind humans, like in the purest form. And so I enjoyed my time with them. And I love their Trading Secrets. I thought they were pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, they were great. And I will say that too, like back to like them both being kind humans, like you can, their background and their upbringing and their wholesomeness shined through in this episode. Like as funny as it was, like, you know, a lot of Andrew's, you know, not having the means growing up and like not like his Trading Secret, like you said, I thought it was incredible. Like, just don't panic.
Yeah.
Like just don't panic was so amazing. And then, you know, Greg, like obviously with his dad's health issues and he was Ubering, he was, you know, doing tons of these little side jobs to get to where he is. You know that sticks with them and who they are and how they approach their current state in life. But yeah, I mean, the never panic one, like you must have been panicking hearing a Trading Secret calling saying never panic. And I think your first question after was like, so how do you do that?
Tell me more, Andrew.
Yeah.
As I have had a couple panics in the last month or so, but we won't dive into those. But yeah, exactly. I thought great Trading Secrets. Two guys have come so far. The one thing I want to ask you about before we wrap, David, is what did you think, like when they talked about their earnings in social media, were you surprised? Yeah. Was that on point with what you thought? What did you expect?
Yeah, first off, I thought it was so perfect because here are two friends, admittedly, like moved to the same city. They're basically like business partners. Like they don't have necessarily, hey, come do this ad with me, I'll give you a 10%. It's like, no, I need someone to do this ad, I'll just do it. Good for you on getting the ad. And I think they were both surprised to hear the difference in earnings from 200K to 400K, which is what Trading Secrets is all about. It's financial transparency. And I guarantee you that Andrew will be better off for his rates from this podcast, just having that in the back of his mind and maybe now talking to Greg about different deals that he's done to amass that 400K. I thought it was right on par, to be honest. Like, these guys are all over my Instagram and my TikTok, and they're hilarious. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if it was more. But I think right on par, and it was nice for you to talk about their five-year goals, their incomes. You know, Greg, $1 million. Andrew, like, he just wants that comfort word that you guys talked about. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was right on par. Like, I just think it's so impressive when you get past that, like, 6 months of the show, just the fall off from the people who are gone into, you know, reality TV irrelevancy, and the people who are still here 3 or 4 years later. And you know, from being in the business, those people are just upticks and upticks and upticks. Something really special about those people.
Exactly. Exactly. There's no doubt about it. And these two, I think this is just the start of those earnings. I think those earnings are going to be up big time. You know, there are oftentimes we say we want to have guests back on the show. These are two people that in a year or two, yes, we have to have them back on, because I want to see how they adjust. And I agree with you. This is why we talk about money, right? So you can understand these numbers, take the numbers, and then fine tune everything you're doing to increase them to make it make sense. So I think it was a great episode. It was a fun episode. We talked about personal, we talked about professional, and of course we talked financial. And I think it was an interview like no other with Andrew and Greg, and they have big things ahead. One thing I'll tell you guys, make sure to give us 5 stars in the reviews and let us know who else you want on the podcast, because we have had some really cool requests lately. Boston Rob was a big one, but there's a long list that people want to hear from. Remember, we have that second episode now every week called More Than Money. We're going to see how it goes. So far, it's trending really, really well. But the premise of that show is we're talking all things life, dating, health, mental health, therapy, life updates. It's just More Than Money. David, before I wrap, you got anything else?
Yeah, I know these guys will be back on, because I could sense the bromance brewing in the room between the three of you during that episode. And the only thing that I'm going to sign off with is asking you a question. Now that the book tour is wrapped and the after party has been done, give me a trading secret, your favorite memory as you sat in that party in New York City, reflecting on the people there. Favorite memory from your party, and then you can sign off.
Okay, I think my favorite memory was the speech. Everyone was kind of like pressing me to do a speech, and I didn't prepare one. And David, as you know, I'm usually Mr. Prepared with that kind of stuff. Like, I'll know what I'm going to say and rehearse it 10 times. And I had no idea what I was going to say. And Evan, I was like, dude, what direction do you think I should go? He goes, dude, just get that mic and speak from the heart. Just do it. Just go get it and speak from the heart. And so I got that mic and I just spoke from the heart. And actually, it reminded me, David, of a bit of it kind of connected to a speech that you gave on your bachelor party. But the idea of the whole speech, that I was just like looking around, I'm like, you know what? Cool. I have a second book, and it went really well. And we know, David, we'll do a whole numbers episode in the book. The sales are about 2x of the restart roadmap. So Unreal. It's great. And we're getting great press and everything else. But like, none of that stuff matters. Yep. Like, that's cool. It's fun. I'm glad I did it. It's an impactful thing. But what matters is, you know, the people that you have around you that can support you to get there, that can celebrate with you at your highest highs, and that could be there for you at your lowest lows. And I used a word that you talk about all the time, but like, life's work. And, you know, I say, like, that is our life's work. That's more than the resume. And when I look around this room, there's some new faces, there's some old faces, but I see so many creative individuals who I consider all friends at this point, and there's no place I'd rather be than celebrating with people like you. And this right here is what it's about, the relationships and the people that are in your life. And so, like, I just kind of went on a little tangent with that, and I don't know, a lot of people after were like, that really, really hit me. And I was just extremely grateful for all those people that showed up. A lot didn't have to, the people that shared about it. It was special. It was really special. My brother, I'll never forget this line too. My brother walks in and he's like, this is amazing. Like, but do you know all these people? Like, who is everyone here? That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
That's amazing. That resonates with me, because I remember when we were, you know, water spraying on us from at the Bellagio, at the supper club, looking into your guys' eyes, you know, giving that speech impromptu on the last day of the bachelor party. I'm glad you had that moment. I'm glad you had that feeling. It looked amazing. And you know, many more Jason Tardik sponsored parties in the future is what everyone wants. So keep doing you, bro.
When you see the success of the first one, I think people will be excited about the second one. And this will not be the last party we had. But David, thank you for joining me on this recap. Greg and Andrew, if you are listening, thank you for being guests on Trading Secrets. This was a fun one like no other. And just remember, we are back every week, 2 times a week. So make sure that you tune into More Than Money this Thursday for hopefully another episode that you can't afford to miss.